welcome back to another episode of Better English, Better Business, the podcast for German professionals wishing to improve their business English. My name is Daniel Nickel, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Patrick Fabian. Hello, Patrick. How are you today?
Wonderful as always.
I would never have guessed otherwise.
What else?
What else? What do you mean, what else?
Like the Nespresso. What else?
What else?
I'm wonderful as always.
What else? You completely lost me there. You took me off on another tangent. Even half our listeners are probably, the regular listeners are going, what the?
What the?
I talked about that last week.
I'm always mumbling that. Aw.
Are you doing all right this week, Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like always.
Like always. What's new today?
Nothing. Like always.
What's happening today? Are you got any plans at the after our session today?
Well, I have a plumber coming over.
A plumber? What's a plumber? I know what a plumber is. Is it somebody who picks plums from the tree?
No.
No?
No. He doesn't do fruity things.
He doesn't do fruity things?
He do pipey things.
Pipey things?
That he changes my water counter.
He changes every day, or he is going to change? Or he is changing?
I hope he only do that once, so he is going to change.
You hope he only does it once.
Does it once.
And therefore today, and it's a fixed arrangement, so he's coming to change.
Change my water counter.
Okay. Okay. What's wrong with the water counter?
I have no idea.
Maybe he just wants to make some money.
I'm not paying that.
So who decided that the water counter needed changing?
Or apparently,
insurance or
no. The Gemeinde, the city council, or whatever.
The city council. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They've everybody has to update their water counters
apparently,
within the whole council, within the whole area.
Yeah, in the whole area. So
okay.
Let's see about that.
Mm-hmm. And they pay for it.
Yeah, they pay for it.
Okay.
And I think the next one who will come over will change our electricity counter. No, it can't be right.
How's I think that? It is. Yeah,
it is right.
Stromzahler or
Stromzähler. Yeah.
No, actually, I had to correct you. Sorry, I have to correct myself. Actually, it's not the counter; it's the meter.
Yeah. Meter.
Yeah, it's the water meter as well. Hot water meter and the electricity meter. Yeah, my mistake. Yeah.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're doing everything in inches, but they have a meter.
Yeah. Wait, who's doing everything in inches? It's only the US, isn't it?
In the UK.
No.
No?
Is the UK inch? No. UK's metric, isn't it?
Well.
Come on, let's ask Google.
That's a googly episode today.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would Google that before.
Whilst the UK has adopted the metric system, imperial units remain widely used among the public and remain legal as primary indications of measurement for certain areas, such as draft beer, very important, cider also, precious metals, so by ounce, for example, and milk in returnable containers.
So water is liter and milk is gallons.
And beer is pint. Yeah.
Oh, that's fairly easy.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, so driving, as far as I remember, it's
in miles.
Is it?
It is in miles.
Oh, okay.
I was in England recently.
Yeah, you were there much more recently than I think. It's been like 15 years since I was there. So quite a while since I was in the UK. Yeah.
I had to change the my indicators in the car 2 miles, not the indicators.
I was in Ireland, I think.
Speed meter.
Is Ireland the same?
That's a good question. You have two sides to Ireland. Perhaps one has kilometers and one has miles.
Yeah, you're correct, actually. Well, that's okay. Because I remember being in Ireland. Yeah, so in the Republic of Ireland, it's in kilometers, while in Northern Ireland, miles are used.
Well, that must be annoying.
Yeah.
If they cross the border, they always need to think, a little bit harder.
Interesting. Okay.
What 30 is miles or kilometers.
Where I come from, though, in Australia, I mean, my mom still sometimes thinks in old units, imperial. However, everything today in Australia is metric system. So
okay.
Yeah. Same as here in Germany, more or less. Yeah. When did it change in Germany? Do you know?
I have no idea. Did it change?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's why I'm asking. I don't know. Man, we're showing our ignorance here today. Yeah?
Isn't that great?
Our lack of knowledge.
Vulnerability and ignorance.
Yeah. Change when Napoleon changed the...
From what? To what?
From the left to the right-hand side driving.
Ah, you mean that? I think you meant measurements.
Yeah, which is the right side of the road to drive on?
Always the right side.
No, the right side to drive on is the left.
Yeah.
Historically.
If you are on a horse and need to fight back, and you are a right-handed person.
Most people are right-handed people, which means the sword's hung down on the left-hand side, and to keep them from clashing in the middle of the street, you would always ride on the left-hand side.
Right? Or if you need to attack your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, history. Anyway, it's gone completely off topic. How do we get onto that?
So it was a lefty decision to change that to the right side.
You could say that, I guess. Patrick.
Man.
What I was going to... Are you going into the office at all today?
No, I'm...
Ah, okay.
Today, completely in home office.
You're sitting there looking very, very relaxed in your sweater today.
Thank you.
Just chilling. Chill outfit, let's say. Yeah? Your hair's looking fantastic, as always.
I know. I sprayed that two hours ago.
Oh, you sprayed it 2 hours ago. Oh, lovely. Okay. Yeah. But you're in the chill outfit today.
A little bit.
Let's dive into outfits and fashion just a little. So when you go to work, what do you generally wear to work? You're not...
Oh, I think the correct answer would be business casual.
Business casual. That's your preferred style, let's say.
Yeah.
So how do you prefer... How do you define business casual? Tell me a little bit about your standard outfit choice, which you keep in your wardrobe for business casual.
Okay, basically it's a polo shirt.
Polo shirt?
Polo shirt. Mm-hmm. No jeans.
No jeans?
No jeans.
Okay.
Chinos? Regular. No, regular pants.
What are regular pants? Slacks, you mean? Like suit pants almost, or...
Yeah, but without the fine edge in the middle.
Okay, so it's more like a chino
usually
look, isn't it?
Suit pants has always... What?
It's more like a chino style, isn't it? Or...
Yeah, but is chino with an elastic band?
Not with as far as I know.
No.
Uh-uh.
Okay, then chino.
Okay.
And good shoes.
Okay, yeah, but now you're making me question my own sense of fashion here.
No problem.
I'm not an expert in fashion.
No sense of style, so...
I disagree, though. You do have a sense of style. Yeah, chinos. You do have a sense of style. I've seen you, so at our networking events, you always come smartly, casual, smart, professionally dressed, yeah?
Yep.
You have a nice style. Come back. Okay, so you've got your chinos, you've got your polo shirt. What else do you have in your wardrobe?
As a standard? A belt is quite necessary detail.
Yeah.
And
an important, let's call it an accessory.
An accessory, right. Mm-hmm. So, and well, a watch.
A watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what type of watch do you wear? It's because watches are... I'm actually getting into watches at the moment. I'm doing a lot of...
So, depends on the event.
I'm looking to buy myself a new piece. So
depends on the event. Mm-hmm. On business events, I...
In an event?
At.
Ah, damn thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
At
in on
an event.
An
yeah. At the event. Okay, so at business
at
events.
Event.
Yeah, yeah.
More formal business event, I wear an analog watch, so classic mm-hmm. watch.
Mm-hmm. Mechanic, automatic?
Mechanic.
Mechanic, meaning? No. You have to wind it yourself.
No. Then it's an automatic one. Yeah.
So it's quartz.
It's quartz.
Okay. Battery operated.
Mm-hmm. Battery operated, but Swiss made.
And what? Swiss, okay. What is it? Tell us about it. What have you got? Watches are fantastic pieces.
It's a nice piece. I honestly do not know who made it.
Oh, you just know it's Swiss made.
Anywho.
Okay. As far as I know, there are three areas in the world that have the greatest history in watchmaking. So it's the Swiss, mm-hmm. French area, because a lot of the Swiss guys, when they set up the watchmaking industry in Switzerland, actually learned the craft in France. I forget the name of the place, but it's 1,500 kilometers away. And a lot of the Swiss guys then came back mm-hmm. and brought the knowledge back and then set up the Swiss watchmaking industry. This was one of the areas. Second area, I think, was Glashaus, so German, mm-hmm. In East Germany. Mm-hmm. And they were very famous for the watch and time clock building industry.
But I think they mostly do mechanical.
I think there were different ones. I'm not sure. And another one, actually, in the Black Forest, Furtwangen mm-hmm. was another very big and important place in the history of watchmaking. So two actually in Germany. It's quite interesting. And the Furtwangen is actually kind of interesting because that goes back to I think it was also a gold mining place. It has a history which dates further back. Mm-hmm. But as far as I understand, so back in the early days in Germany, the farmers, when they died, and this is what separates the Black Forest to the rest of Germany, the land was passed to the eldest son. In other parts of Germany, it was divided.
Needed to be divided, yeah.
Yeah, amongst the children. Mm-hmm. And so also in the past and other parts of Germany, they started putting land together because you had all of these tiny plots of land. They brought it all together, but that didn't have to happen in the Black Forest because it had this different rule. So what did that mean then for all the other children and all the other sons who then didn't inherit? They needed to find other ways of making money. And this was where the industry of the cuckoo clock was kind of born, as far as I understand. So a lot of them became clockmakers, cuckoo clocks, and they used to travel around and they commercialized the selling of clocks. And one of the centers of this industry was in Furtwangen in the Black Forest.
Honestly, my head went straight to Kuckucksuhr, as you said that, but I thought we talked about wristwatches, watches in general.
Then actually went through many, that was just the beginning, yeah. But then they turned into great watchmakers as well. Junghans, I think,
another one, yeah.
And they were based in Furtwangen and they made great watches. They were also had something to do with one of the Bauhaus designers that mm-hmm. they had who was doing all their watch faces. And they also went through their own changes. I think back in the 80s, they were the first ones. When the battery watches started to be made, they then jumped on and also got into this, but they took it a step further and then they went and made
radio-controlled, I think.
Radio-controlled clocks. And they became really big in this area.
First,
yeah. And then, of course,
You
had one of these. Yeah. Okay. And after their patent ran out after 10 years or so on this, then that business kind of died because everybody else could now build them and were doing cheaper versions. And I think then they went back to watches.
Okay.
This is a very rough knowledge. I'm not an expert in this, just from the stories I've heard. So there might be some details. I'm not 100% correct on there. However, I think generally I got most of it kind of correct. So I'm reading this at the moment talking about it with some people. So it'd be great to get somebody on to talk about that topic and a bit history there. We do know people. Anyway, so Patrick, one of my homework points for you today, find out the brand of your watch. That's important to know. You got to know what your piece is.
I don't want to brag.
It's not about bragging. I think it's wonderful. There's a story behind a piece, isn't there?
Always. There's always a story behind these things.
So what's the story behind your piece?
Basically, in 1 year.
In
once
1 year?
Upon a time.
Or 1 year ago?
No.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, my wife surprised me.
Oh.
And with a quite expensive watch.
Lovely. That's
for Christmas.
What a lovely present.
Yeah.
And that's the sentimental value. Was a nice Christmas present.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So usually
you're not going to tell us the name of the maker.
No.
So it has to be something really expensive that you're too embarrassed to talk about.
No.
Right? I mean,
no. Not by DX standards.
How do you know I was talking about that friend? I could have been talking about another friend. I have a few friends that I talk about this topic with. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's most excited about that.
He loves time.
Yeah.
And the history of time. That's true. But I think it's always interesting topic. Anyway, so fashion, that's okay. Again, I'm getting sidetracked. I think it's a great little topic, watches, accessories in general. So a nice belt, a nice watch. How many watches do you have? Two or three, four?
Two.
Two, okay. Good. They're collector's items. So I know a few people that have many watches. It's great.
No. Smart watches are not collector items.
I didn't say smartwatch. I just said watches. Watches in general are collector's items. So, well, I assume then your second is a smartwatch. Okay. So you have one watch, collector's item watch. Another one is standard smartwatch.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's more or less a throwaway.
All right. Yeah. Okay. What other accessories are important to your wardrobe?
Well, actually, I need to wear glasses out of medical purposes, but I need to look the part. but that's it, basically.
Okay.
It depends on the weather.
Do you own a Anzug of English?
A suit.
Do you own a suit?
I think I do, but I'm not quite sure where it is.
Okay. I mean, I don't wear mine often either, but I know exactly where it
is.
Somewhere
hidden in my closet, there's an Armani, but
okay.
I never used that.
I have a Boss.
Years.
All right. And what color is your suit?
Grayish. Darker gray. So okay. I could work at a bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a blue Boss suit, a little bit lighter blue, not a navy blue. Mm-hmm. Pairs well with a nice pair of brown shoes.
Mm-hmm. Looks good quite look. English.
Mm-hmm. And goes well with either a t-shirt or a shirt. I'm a t-shirt guy. I mean, I just love t-shirts. Yeah, I feel most comfortable in a t-shirt. I've got a whole bunch of shirts as well. Do you have a favorite brand of shirt?
Good question. I had several t-shirts of hippie jeans, but no.
Okay.
Not in particular.
I'm a fan of Olymp.
Okay.
Yep. Used to be a slim fit, but I'm getting older. Going for the casual fit these days. Yeah, no, but Olymp.
Getting
wider. Yeah. But yeah, Olymp. I like the quality. Mm-hmm. I like the fit. And what about polo shirts? Do you have a favorite brand there?
Not necessarily.
Because I went for some of the classics.
I love Boss for my polo shirts.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you do have one. I went back for some of the classic polo, Marco, whatever. I forget what it's called, but he was one of the classic ones. I wasn't happy with them and the cut. Mm. And then they shrunk so quickly in the wash. And I have a new one actually from Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, but Fruit of the Loom is the brand for all t-shirts that are printed. Basically.
Yeah, and I had some work shirts actually embroidered for business purpose, and I chose two different brands. And the one actually I'm most happy with, which surprised me because I wasn't a big fan in the past, but the Fruit of the Loom polo shirt, black polo shirt, is doing fantastic after many washes as well. It's keeping its form, this one. So the only thing you can do is buy another one and see if it's the same. So first of all, before I would go and buy lots of Fruit of the Loom polo shirts. So, but that one I'm actually happy with at the moment. All right. So fashion's cool to talk about. So you've told us a bit about your standard. So do you like wearing a jacket, for example? So winter's coming. Are you a blazer wearer or a vest wearer? Any of these things?
If it comes to that coldness.
That coldness, those temperatures, those winter temperatures, yeah, those cool temperatures. So yeah.
If I feel a little bit chilly.
Yeah.
Then I usually try to either use a, how is that called?
Cravat.
No, my goodness,
what's cravat of English?
A tie.
A tie, thank you. And a flieger of English? Got you.
I know. No, you do not.
You tie your shoelaces into a Robin Hood shot arrows with his.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh man.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a bow tie.
Bow tie. Bow and arrow. The bow. Yep. You tie your shoelaces into a bow. All right. Mm-hmm. Bow tie. There's actually, we could get into a lot of cool vocabulary based around the topic of fashion. I actually have an English lesson for us today. I haven't even got there yet. And we're already 23 minutes in. Yeah. And the listeners are going to be saying, these guys are so unfashionable. They've got no idea about fashion. Yeah,
That's no problem. Oh, just well, two guys
luckily
talking.
The video is not running today because, you could really think that. We're in our Friday, relaxed Friday house gear. I've got a t-shirt on, my standard, but I like polo shirts as well. Shirts for more formal occasions. Polo shirts for semi-formal and t-shirts for the very casual look. But plain t-shirts. I do not like t-shirts with lots of writing, pictures, etc. I go for the very plain t-shirt look. I have a few colors that I like and I'll kind of stick with that. All right. Maybe we'll come back to that topic, just slightly touching on it within the context of the lesson. And I know that you're waiting for your plumber to come. So I hope the plumber doesn't show up while we're having this discussion. Otherwise, we'll have to pause and continue next week. However, I wanted to have a quick talk today about the topic of giving advice, however, giving what we call hypothetical advice. Okay, and to give hypothetical advice in English, we generally use a type of clause. We call them if clauses. We've spoken about these quite a few times on the podcast, but they're important to revisit because they're always a little confusing and they're the type of thing that anybody can learn with repetition because you also have them in German. So for the hypothetical advice, we need to specifically use one of four conditionals. We're going to be using what we call the second conditional. So the second conditional is built by using the if clause plus the subject plus the past simple.
Yeah. If I were you.
Aha. Uh-huh. And the one exception or the one weird thing in this clause is exactly what you were saying. Normally it's I was, past simple. However, that's kind of accepted, but it sounds so much better. The correct way to say it is to use the second person, past simple form of the be, were. If I were, if you were, if she were. So we just stick with were in this hypothetical conditional. Yeah. Followed by the main clause, which is the basic rule, would plus infinitive. If I were you, I would leave earlier. Yeah. If I were you, I could fly, but I'm not. If I were you, I would look just as cool as you do when you go out to a business event. Yeah. Guess you look damn cool, Patrick. All right. So I want to give you a couple of phrases based on this conditional. For hypothetical situations, suggestions, polite suggestions, etc. Mm-hmm. And give you an example of each one being used in a business context, around the context of maybe so changing business paths or starting a new business line, etc. And something more in a private context. The topic I chose today was men's fashion. That's why I was having a nice little talk.
What's the lead up?
It was a bit of a lead up just to bring that topic in a little. So, first, really basic phrase, and I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 today. Okay, 5 phrases I'm going to use. You can, if you're listening and want to perfect these phrases and they sound a bit strange, just skip back a couple of minutes and you can listen to them over and over again. First one, nice and simple. This is giving simple advice in a hypothetical situation. And we just mentioned it before. If I were you, I would. And then follow it up with whatever your verb is going to be. if I were you, I would wear black shoes with those pants. If I were you, I would wear some nice brown leather shoes with those navy blue chinos that you've got on today. If I were you, I wouldn't think of opening up a new business at the moment. It's the wrong time. Next one is just for making a suggestion. So maybe I do like some of the things you're thinking about, some of your ideas, and I want to suggest something else. And I might say, well, you could consider doing this. You could consider doing that. You could consider. Consider is another nicer way of saying, or a more formal way of saying, to think about. You could think about this. Yeah? Phrase number three. It might be a good idea to, this is what we use as a polite suggestion. It might be a good idea to, I'll go on to just go through the phrases and I'll bring in some more examples. Mm-hmm. Suggestion with empathy. Ooh, here we go. In your position, I would think about doing it differently. It's kind of if I were you, but now I'm really putting myself into that position. So in your position, I would do this.
If I were in your shoes, I would.
Mm-hmm. If I were in your shoes is another great phrase. And the last one, introducing new options. Have you thought about trying something new? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Because if I were you in this position, I would try something along these lines. So I'm going to put these into a bit of context now. Taking the first one, hypothetical situation. Think about the topic of changing business path or starting a new business line. So if I were you, I would carefully research the new market before making any major decisions. Suggestion. You might want to consider partnering with an expert in that field to minimize risks. Polite suggestion. It might be a good idea to test the market with a smaller product launch before committing fully. Suggesting with empathy. In your position, I would analyze the cost-benefit ratio before diversifying. Mm-hmm. And introducing a new option. Well, have you thought about whether your current team has the skills needed for this new venture? If I were you, I would. You could consider. It might be a good idea to. In your position, I would. Have you thought about? Once again, there are five phrases just for today. Let's take it now a step more in the private direction based around the idea of men's fashion. What's your advice? If I were you, remember, just going back to the simple hypothetical situation, conditional two, if I were you, I would invest in a few high-quality classic pieces that never go out of style. Suggestion, you could consider choosing neutral colors that are easy to mix and match. Polite suggestion, it might be a good idea to buy a tailored suit for special occasions. Suggesting with empathy. In your position, I would avoid following short-lived trends and focus on timeless fashion. Let's put it into the shoes one because I like that example. I didn't write that down. If I were in your shoes, it's a nice phrase. If I were in your shoes, I would avoid following short-lived trends and focus on timeless fashion. And introducing new options. Have you thought yet, or have you thought about consulting with a personal stylist for professional advice? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a similar phrase, if I were in your shoes, in German? Wenn ich in deine Schuhe wäre?
I think we usually just say, if I were you, in the sense of, wenn ich du wäre.
Nicht, wenn ich in deine
Oder
Schuhe.
In deiner Position.
Nicht deine Schuhe.
Mm. You don't like shoes.
Sounds so cool. Yes, you do. Don't give me that. All right. A couple of practice questions. And I know you're going to have to go very quickly soon, Patrick. So I want you to give me some advice. I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation structure, and I want you to give me some advice. I'm thinking about quitting my job to start a new business.
If I were you, I would reconsider and postpone that to later.
Why? I hate my business. I hate my job. It really sucks, and I have a feeling they're going to throw me out anyway. So I'm really thinking about quitting before they do, and starting a new business. Well then,
then do that. Sounds reasonable.
No, so give me some advice. if I were you, or you might want to consider, or yeah, in your position?
You might consider just starting that slow and freelance on the side.
Okay. I'm a bit unsure whether to invest in a new watch or not. It's a little out of my price range, but it looks so damn good. It's sexy.
Okay. Can you say my suggestion for you would be?
You could say this, but I want you to practice some of the phrases I mentioned before. Have you thought about it? It could be a good idea in your position. You might want to consider.
Yeah. If I were in your position, I would just wait a little bit longer and try to come up with more capital to do that tremendous investment in that.
I didn't say the capital's not there. I just said it's a little bit out of the price range. That's two different things.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, who says it's a, if you can buy it, you can buy it. If you do not have the capital to do so, then it's out of your price range.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, no, price range is maybe based on your budget, what you're allowing yourself from your capital to invest into something, the different things.
Yeah.
But, I would then suggest, in that context, I would say, well, maybe have a look at the value of the watch. Does the watch have the potential to raise in value over the next few years? Is it a good investment? How many do you already have? Is it your first time buying the one? These are the things I would be thinking about. Is it your first piece? Are you stepping into this for the first time into this market, or are you already collecting?
Anyway, how's your emotional value towards that piece or off that piece? Better.
I like your first advice. Just leave it. It's good. All right. So a friend is
it's
wondering,
more or less a no temptation rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next example. A friend is wondering if they should spend a lot of money on trendy clothes. What's your advice?
If I were in his shoes, I would go for a more classic style.
And
an evergreen style.
An evergreen style. Don't go trend.
No.
Go classic.
Do not chase a trend. It's always faster than you.
Exactly. And even going in classic styles, you can also find very affordable pieces. So spending a lot of money, I think you can do things quite affordably if you really look into it. And classics never go out of style. All right. Do you want one more? Would you like one more? Okay. Someone is about to attend an important business event and isn't sure what to wear. What would you recommend?
Depends actually on the occasion and the
event. It's an important business event.
Is it a black tie? No.
It is not a black tie.
It's not a black tie.
Because black tie would not make it difficult to decide what to wear.
Ah, okay. Okay.
They're unsure what to wear.
Ah,
so it's an important event in terms of there will be important people there. It's going to be mingling, networking, maybe the chance to have some sales. It's an important event. So we want to go, what would you recommend? It's an important event.
In that situation, I would recommend to wear chinos and a sacco.
A blazer.
A blazer.
Oh, we had that.
Oh,
we did?
Yeah.
Okay, a blazer.
With a polo shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the nice
color
combination.
I would go a full button shirt rather than polo shirt under blazer.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of polo shirts under blazer myself, actually. Like, I can go t-shirt under a blazer. Looks cool. Or full button shirt.
Yeah. What do you say?
We can both give advice to this person. That's just... my randomly generated list of questions based on today's topic. Anyway, Patrick, I hope you got a little bit of out of that to our dear listeners out there. If any of those phrases are interesting to you, just
buy more chinos.
Skip back and have a listen to the phrases. If you liked our fashion advice today, well, wish you the best of luck. If you have any great advice for us to dags, oh, that's a lovely Australian word. What's a dag? Patrick, do you know this? A dag.
I know a dagger. but I don't know.
No, a dag. D-A-G. Or you could use as an adjective, he's so daggy. Yeah. Oh, this is really Australian. Dag is actually kind of a horrible and a disgusting word. As far as I know, it's the shit that gets caught in the hair at the back of a sheep's ass. These are dags, yeah?
Ew.
But yeah, ew. But we also, in Australia, because we're very creative with our language, we've taken this word and it kind of means somebody with no fashion sense, nothing, that they're just daggy. They don't really care, okay. Obviously. Daggy mm-hmm. can be used kind of negatively, but it can mm-hmm. also be used in a cool way. Think of do you know the film The Big Lebowski?
No.
You've never seen The Big Lebowski. One, that's a film about a true dag, a really daggy guy. He walks into the supermarket in his bathrobe. He's always mm-hmm. got his bathrobe on and just kind of walking around. But he's so daggy, he's cool.
Is that with Jack Black?
No.
No, that's not
the Jeff
Jack
Bridges.
Black.
Jeff Bridges.
Oh.
The Dude. He's called The Dude. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you haven't seen that film.
I have not.
Wow. Put it on your watch list. Great film. Anyway, these two dags sitting here today. So glad we got to talk a little bit about an interesting topic that I find interesting anyway. Oh, it was a good topic today. Fashion, watches. We have to do a more in-depth look at watches, I think, at one point.
Oh, mm-hmm. Let's do that sometime.
Watches and time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Take time to do that episode.
It will take time. And this episode took a little bit of time today as well.
No problem.
Unlike our last episode, we hit the 40-minute mark now. So
in average, our listeners
in,
say.
In average. In.
A good.
In average.
Over in, average.
What?
At average.
At average?
Average?
No. On average.
On average.
Well done. Yeah. All right. Patrick, on that lovely
choice.
Note, on average, on that note. Mate, have a wonderful week. It's great to see you again. Look forward to talking again next week.
Until then, bye-bye.
Cheers.